Right now, it is time for Arthur Schwartz, the food maven. Arthur joins us, of course, on a Monday morning at this time, and we talk about food. Good morning, Arthur. I have to correct what I told you off the air.
Yeah, what's the correction?
The correction is up. It's more like about $7 a pound.
Okay, so I asked Marshall before we got on how much he was paying for ground beef. And that's high. I have not bought ground beef in a week, but it was $4.99 around here, and I don't shop in cheap places, so I don't know. But it's still, even at $6.99, probably a good deal compared to other beef. Not compared to other meats necessarily, but other beef. Anyway, the reason we're talking about this is because, as we all know, the prices have gone crazy over in certain items. Anyway, beef being prime among, no pun intended, beef being prime among them. And I, the other day, last week, at my butcher, where I don't pay cheap prices, you know, he's got whatever is the going rate, if not, and but better quality. And I saw that he had usually I say, oh, a pound of ground, whatever, ground this way, blah blah blah, and they do it all custom, so to speak. But they did have packages like they used to call in the supermarket. Maybe they still do family packs, and this was over. They were all over 2 pounds. Some of them were closer to 3 pounds of ground beef, and it was only $3.99 a pound. And I thought, well, that's a good buy, because if I asked him to grind some meat for me, it would be $4.99 a pound, and I can always use ground beef, and I knew the quality because I buy this all the time. So I get home, and I'm thinking, I don't want to just eat hamburgers for a week. So I froze most of the meat. And with 1 pound of the meat, I'm looking for something to do with it that is, of course, meets my requirement of being relatively low carb. But, you know, meat is no carb. So if I don't add too much carb, I'm okay. And I find a recipe that I am now so stuck on, Marshall, that I'm making it again for the third time today in a week. I'm making it again. Because besides that, I like it, and it's quick and easy. Is very low in carbs, and it's a Thai ground beef stir fry. And I had all the ingredients for it in the house, except for a key ingredient, which is a bell pepper. So I went out and bought a bell pepper. But the condiments that it requires, I keep in the house. It's, you know, one of those Asian dishes that you can do even if you don't have an Asian pantry, so to speak. The only odd ingredient, well, not odd, but the only Asian ingredient that not everybody has, but certainly in every supermarket, is Thai fish sauce. Do you keep Thai fish sauce in the house, Marshall?
No.
Well, I know a lot of people who don't cook Asian who do use Thai fish sauce for various things. You know, it's related very closely to the ancient Roman garum, which was fermented anchovies, very very, very close to what we now call, Arthur, your brain. I'll think of it. Anyway, back to the Thai ground beef dish. So here's the recipe. And I, by the way, I did prepare the recipe, Marshall, so you can put it on the website.
Okay.
But yeah, so it's already done. I'll send it to you as soon as we get off the air. It does have sugar in it. Don't, if you're on a no-carb, low-carb regime, don't worry about it. It's 1 tablespoon of brown sugar in this whole dish. And I added it all up. And if you, even with the sugar, we're talking 38 grams of carb for a 1 pound of beef dish. That serves 2, but really you could get 3 out of it. You know, Bob and I eat a lot. We eat too much, actually. So we split it. But you could get a third person. Certainly if you have a child, a child portion plus the 2 adult portions, that'll do it. So here's the recipe. 2 tablespoons. By the way, I got this from the Internet, but you know the technique may be all my own. 2 tablespoons of vegetable oil. I use canola oil in my house. Not olive oil. I think it's the wrong flavor for this dish. So any neutral oil, and put it in a very large skillet. My largest skillet. I actually use this very big I guess it's a 14-inch non-stick skillet, but it's just a handy, heavy-duty aluminum skillet. So 2 tablespoons of oil in there, and heat it until it's shimmering, and then add 1 pound of ground beef. Now, I break my beef up with a wooden spatula that has a flat end, very, very good for this. I use the same spatula when I'm breaking up meat to make an Italian meat sauce, or chili, or anything that I'm, cooking ground beef. This is a really handy tool to break it up. But you can use the side of a wooden spoon. Works perfectly well. Keep breaking it up over high heat and until all the raw color has disappeared from the meat. And you're going to keep tossing and flipping and breaking it up. And then you're going to add the vegetables. 1 sweet onion. If you don't have a sweet onion, just use a regular onion. But, if you can go out and buy a sweet onion, any Vidalia, whatever they call sweet onions, there are a lot of them out there these days. And peel it, of course. And slice it thin. And 1 bell pepper. Now, if you want to make this an economical dish, I would use a green pepper. Nothing wrong with that. But if you like red peppers better and you're willing to spring with extra price, put in a red pepper, core it, of course, and then cut that into thin strips. And then 6, I know this sounds like a lot, but in the end it's not so much. Close your ears, Jill. 6 large cloves of garlic, finely chopped. So once the meat is has lost its raw color, throw in the pepper, the onion, and the garlic, and toss it all together, let it cook for, doesn't take more than 2 or 3 minutes for the vegetables to begin to get tender. And then I put in the seasoning. Now, the seasoning, I would like you to prepare this ahead of time, meaning before, it's like all Asian cooking. You do all the prep ahead, and then it takes literally minutes to get it all done. So the little seasoning liquid is 2 tablespoons of soy sauce, 1 tablespoon of Thai fish sauce. Truthfully, if you don't have Thai fish sauce and you want to make this because you have ground beef in the freezer, use 3 tablespoons of soy sauce. To that, add 1 tablespoon of dark brown sugar, 1 tablespoon of chili paste. Now, I keep in a tube this Korean chili paste. Don't ask me how you pronounce it. It starts with a G. And I keep that around, and it's because it's in a tube, it stays pretty nice for a long time. I don't use it very often, although now I'm using it a lot because of this dish. If you're going out to buy chili sauce, I would buy the kind that is pure chili paste. Buy the kind that is pure chili paste. Either this Korean one comes in a tube, comes in jars, or sambal is another one. Sriracha, everybody's now got sriracha in their pantry. And I like sriracha as well as anybody, but it does have sugar in it, so be careful. You don't have to use quite so much sugar. Let's use 2 teaspoons of brown sugar if you're going to use 1 tablespoon of sriracha. But I use a pure chili paste. And 2 tablespoons, important, 2 tablespoons of lime juice. I squeeze my own limes. If you don't have limes and you want to make this, use lemon juice. But really, the lime is a different flavor, but I like it. So you stir-fried the beef until it's all broken up and cooked, added the vegetables, the onion and the pepper, stir that around, and then after 2 minutes add this flavoring liquid and toss that around. It doesn't take more than another 2 or 3 minutes, and then you serve it. Now, of course, rice goes perfectly with this, but we're not eating rice in this house. So I'm serving it in lettuce cups. Now, this if you're on a serious budget, I don't know what a head of Boston lettuce costs around you, but it's at least twice, if not 3 times, the price of iceberg. And I gotta say, this Thai stir fry is really perfect in iceberg. I like the softness, the butteriness of a Boston lettuce, and they make very nice lettuce cups. And if you either do this if you're doing this individual, I would make up my lettuce cup and then top it with some leaves of basil and or mint and or coriander. And you might have mint in the gardens, and coriander is probably dead already. Doesn't winter over. But anyway, you can buy that in the supermarket if you like. So it gets topped with either basil or mint, preferably, and it gets in a lettuce cup, and that's it. And truthfully, if you ate half of this, you would still be under 20 grams of carb, even with the vegetables. I added it all up. The most carbohydrate food in this whole thing, of course, is the tablespoon of brown sugar, and next is the onion. Onions are not carb-free, and, you know, if you're in a very low-carb diet, you should limit your onions. Somebody at my little event in Sheffield 2 weeks ago said, or was it just last week, said he uses shallots. He's on the same diet. He uses shallots instead of onion, but, you know, to get the same flavor, I'm willing to spring two people 13 net grams of carb per sweet onion is okay. And I added up what it cost. Now, even with my expensive red pepper and my expensive onion, the whole dish cost $6. Not bad.
So that's $3.
Certainly it feeds two. So that's the price of a fast food, a cheap fast food item.
So this is $3 a person.
Yeah, $3 a person comes out to. And fewer than 20 carbs per person. If you do two people on a full pound of ground beef, it's a generous portion. So I've been doing that, not to save money, but because we like it. And it must say you do a little bit of prep, and it goes a long way, and the whole dish comes together in less than 10 minutes. So maybe 10 minutes. The other thing I am totally hooked on, and not because it's inexpensive, but because we like it, and it is, believe it or not, relatively low carb, and that is cheese souffle. Now, I mentioned this months and months ago, but now all of a sudden I can't stop eating cheese souffle. again, it is very caloric. I'll say that. I added it up, and my entire cheese souffle, which really doesn't serve more than two people, is 1,137 calories. So let's say it's 1,200 calories. That means it's 600 calories. Proportion if you split the souffle. And one of my neighbors who's lost a huge amount of weight, I noticed. People who lose weight want you to notice, by the way. If you notice that a friend of yours is slimmer, say something. Anyway, I said something to Kirk about how much weight he's lost, and I said, well, how are you doing? And he said, he's a big guy, by the way. He's 6 feet tall at least. It's 2,000 calories a day. I said, you know, I am now very well aware that calories do count, because even if I'm ketoing, I don't lose weight because I eat too many calories compared to my exercise level. I know that. So I can maintain my weight by eating a lot of keto calories, but I'm not going to lose. Anyway, I said to him, you know, you could have a whole cheese souffle and still have 800 calories left over. Well, and a whole cheese souffle is a lot of cheese souffle. He cooks.
Well, you know, what's interesting is that's what I've done for the past almost 2 years now, 1,600 to 2,000 calories a day. And and if I want to have something like a cheese souffle, even a half of it, it's no big deal.
It is nothing, though. It's 600 calories.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sorry, that's a whole meal. You could have that in a salad, and it would be a whole meal. What did we have it with? Oh, well, don't ask. But anyway, here's... Everybody is scared of souffles, and they're the easiest thing in the world. The only hard part is getting a little technique for beating the whites and folding. That's it. You make a white sauce, basically. I'm going to do this, by the way, with my little kid nieces. I mean, they're nearly 6 and nearly 8. And I know the 8-year-old is now eating everything all of a sudden. So she'll be, and she likes to cook. In fact, yesterday I FaceTimed with her, and she was eating her own sunny side. I don't know, what does she call them, sunny side? But, you know, sunny side eggs. I was surprised. I said, oh, I love sunny side eggs, except that I want to have them with toast to mop up the yolk. But she was happily eating them without toast. Anyway, you make to make a souffle, all you need to do is first make a white sauce. 3 tablespoons of butter, 3 tablespoons of flour. You let the flour percolate a little bit with the butter, literally for 1 or 2 minutes. And then you add 1 cup of milk. This is a very, very thick white sauce. You beat in 1 cup of milk, let it come back to the simmer. That's going to be your max thickness for this white sauce. Let it simmer for literally a minute or so. And then take it off the stove, let it calm down a couple of minutes, and beat in 4 egg yolks. Of course, you're saving the whites. 4 egg yolks. That's the base of a souffle. To this, you're going to add your cheese. I use 3 ounces of grated cheddar. Now, speaking of how to eat better for less, cheese souffle is pretty cheap and very rich and very delicious. And although eggs are one of the things that are going up in price, I just saw eggs for $7 a dozen the other day. Frightened me. But I still can buy eggs for $3 a dozen, which means eggs are cheap. And I must say, I've been finding American cheddar cheese. I just bought New York State cheddar, white cheddar, for like $7 a pound. And if you're only using 3 ounces, that's, you know, it. Anyway, so 3 ounces of shredded cheddar. I'd use the big hole side of my box grater for this. It comes out to about a cup of cheese, a grated cheese. And I do use some Parmigiano, my good expensive Parmigiano in this, but only a few tablespoons. Literally a quarter of a cup is enough, and that's not even an ounce of Parmigiano. So what you do is you butter a souffle dish. You need to have a 48-inch souffle dish, 48-ounce souffle dish. However, if you don't, and you have only a smaller one, I've made this souffle in a smaller one, and it doesn't rise so much that you need a collar on it. But I did put a collar on it of foil when I first made it. Not necessary. This rises beautifully, but not way, way over a dish. And butter the dish, and then coat it with the grated Parmigiano. I used to put the grated cheese in my cheese mixture, but I like this because the Parmigiano forms a crust on the souffle, and it is a delicious Parmigiano cheese souffle crust. So I put the Parmigiano on a quarter of a cup and roll it around inside the buttered souffle dish. And if you have excess, then just throw it in with your other cheese into the bechamel. So stir your cheese into the cooled base sauce, and then use an extra egg white, 5 egg whites. Now, what do you do with the extra yolk? I save my yolk, and this morning I'm going to make some mayonnaise with my yolk. I could have done it yesterday, but I got lazy. It's easy to make mayonnaise. I do it in my little mini food processor. If you have one of those and you never noticed, it has holes in the cover where you can put your oil. You can just drizzle your oil into one of those little slots, and automatically it drips it into the processor, and you're making mayonnaise. Little lemon juice, mustard, salt, pepper. Anyway, so 5 egg whites. Now, I have experimented with room temperature egg whites and cold egg whites, and fact is, I don't really see much of a difference. Although, if you have cold egg whites, they won't start mounting as quickly as room temperature egg whites. But since I like to do the souffle thing all ahead of time, and at the last minute all I do is beat the egg whites and fold them into the base sauce and pour them into my ramekin or souffle dish, which I have also prepared ahead, I end up with cold egg whites because I put them in the fridge until I'm ready to beat them. That's the only reason. Either way, beat the egg whites. I use a handheld electric mixer, and I start them out on the lowest speed, which is not that low on my mixer, and until they start breaking up and foaming, and then you can increase the speed. And I twirl my bowl as I'm moving my electric mixer around, and they mount fairly quickly. You want them to mount until, as the directions always say, until they're stiff but not dry, which means you want them stiff, not breaking up. The dry part is they break up. My little test to see if they're done, if they're ready, if they're beaten to the max and to the optimum, is I turn off the mixer and I tilt the bowl of beaten whites. And if I see the beaten whites moving in the bowl, that means they're not finished yet, and I put the beater back for another couple of seconds, whatever it takes. In the end, you want it so that when you turn the bowl, the whites will not move. In fact, you could turn the bowl upside down, and the whites won't fall out. I don't suggest you go that far necessarily, but certainly if they're in a big bowl, they shouldn't move. And then you fold about one-third of the whites into your base sauce. Now, folding is a technique that I see being done wrong on television all the time. Even Martha Stewart, I've noticed, when she says fold, she doesn't always mean fold. She often stirs. Well, we don't want to stir here. We want to take our rubber spatula, put it right down in the middle of the bowl, and go all the way to the bottom of the bowl and bring up what's on the bottom over the egg whites. Keep turning the bowl and doing this until the egg whites have lightened up the base and more or less, not altogether, have disappeared. Then you can put the rest of the egg whites in and do the same thing. Very gently fold everything in. You don't want egg white to show, but if there is a little puff here or there, don't worry about it. Pour this puffed up egg white and base mixture into your souffle dish. Put it in a well preheated 375 degree oven for 35 minutes will get you a gorgeous souffle, but the very center, in my oven, I have to add, this is in my oven, the very center of which will be molten, will be a little runny. Mr. Harned likes the runny part. So I pull my souffle out at 35 minutes, and I give him all the runny part because I like the puffed up part better. And for 40 minutes, you get an entirely solidified souffle, so to speak, solidified. It's not that solid. I bring it to the table. We eat it immediately. You can't let a souffle wait. That is one thing you can't do, although this souffle is not so delicate that it will flop immediately. But we do eat it immediately, and it is good. And so, as I said, it's about 1,200 calories. The whole thing, I don't know, it depends on what you pay for cheese. The most expensive ingredient here is cheese. But I'm figuring, you know, this is also one of the, this is under $5. This is enough for two people for under $5. So there we go. So today we get Thai stir fry. And since we had a souffle yesterday, I'll have to wait a couple of days before I do that again.
The Thai stir fry really sounds good.
It is. And I'm sending you the recipe. Excuse me. And also, this is I've made so many cheese souffles lately. This is now my go-to recipe. You know, I fiddled with the amount of flour. I fiddled with the amount of cheese. I find that putting too much cheese in is not a good thing. If you like a sharper... Oh, by the way, I season my base, the bechamel base, with quite a bit of nutmeg, which I find brings out the flavor of cheese, any cheese almost. So I was, there's a good eighth teaspoon of nutmeg, maybe more. I don't measure. I grate it into the pot. Salt and pepper, of course. I would think a good, you're going to need at least 3/4 teaspoon of salt and not that much pepper, but I put in a pinch, big pinch, of cayenne pepper. And I also put in about 1/4 teaspoon of Dijon mustard, which I don't measure, so maybe it's a little more. And I stir that into the bechamel. Gives it a little kick, a base kick. Now, the cheese is, of course, the main flavor here, though. And so I bought this New York State cheddar that was on sale for only $7 a pound. But I must say, the better the cheddar, the better the souffle. Also, other cheese. I mean, Swiss cheese is good, Gruyere, Comté.
And don't use the pre-shredded cheese, right?
I wish you wouldn't.
Yeah.
It's generally not the same quality as a hunk of cheese.
Yeah, no, and it's not that hard to shred, you know.
Truthfully, I have not had a pre-shredded cheese in so many years. I shouldn't comment on it.
No, but they also
I don't even think to use it.
They also put an ingredient in there to make it melt evenly.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Are we talking about cheddar? Did they say cheddar? You know, I mean, Bob asked me about this yesterday when we were eating our souffle about cheddar cheese, and I should do a little bit of research. But cheddar is a place in England, and the original cheese is from England, and you can buy that in the U.S., real, genuine, from England cheddar, from cheddar. But American cheddar, mainly... You know, I mean, a lot of states make cheddar, but New York, Vermont, Wisconsin are the ones I'm thinking of mainly. I wouldn't be surprised. I'm sure there is California cheddar because they have a lot of dairy in California. But anyway, that cheddar, of course, is not authentic cheddar because it's not from cheddar, but it tastes like cheddar. Because I've had real cheddar. And I must say, you can get really good real cheddar, and you can get really good American cheddar. Grafton Farms is one. It's expensive, from Vermont. But I must say, this was very good cheese. I'm happily eating it for its own sake. And it was only $7 a pound. It was in my supermarket. It was on a serious sale. By the way, I wrote a chapter in a book in 1975 when we were deep in both inflation and recession. Who's old enough to remember this? In 1975, I was the food writer at Newsday, the New Long Island newspaper, and one of my colleagues, who ended up being an award-winning consumer reporter in the days when papers actually had consumer reporters, and we needed them in 1975, she edited this book. It's called Better Times. You won't find it anywhere. But I have to say, looking at my chapter was How to Eat Better for Less, a title that I stole from Sam Aaron and James Beard, who several years before had written a book called How to Eat Better for Less. Sam Aaron, by the way, was the owner of liquor store in Manhattan. I'm forgetting the name. It's still in existence. His nephew, I guess, took over the business. Sam was a buddy of James Beard. He was the wine guy, and Beard was the food guy. And they wrote this wonderful book, which you probably can still find online, How to Eat Better for Less. And our book was called Better Times, The Indispensable Guide to Beating Hard Times. So 1975 were very hard times. The recession, I think, started in 74, and didn't end until the late 70s, and we had, I think it was called stagflation.
Yeah,
was the situation then? I've heard that word bandied about recently, and then I also heard somebody say, it's not stagflation. It's temporary inflation. I don't know. Anyway, whatever it is, the price of meat, vegetables, out of control, I've been mentioning for the last few weeks. Cauliflower is going to be $7, $8 a head next week for Thanksgiving. Everybody eats cauliflower, God knows why. Sweet potatoes are up. All the Thanksgiving foods, as you've been hearing, are going to be very expensive.
All right.
Anyway, yeah. And cheese souffle is the answer.
All right.
By the way, this is several years ago when I discovered, I don't remember exactly the situation, but I discovered how much people on food stamps in New York City get, and I decided, let me see if Bob and I can live on a food stamp budget, and we did. I was able to feed us for a week on $100. And the only thing was, I learned from that, is you can't eat beef if you're on a food budget. Pork is not so bad. And chicken, I had a laugh. In my book, Better Times, I gave the, it was, when is it better to buy parts, a whole chicken, a blah, blah. And the prices that I gave was like 30 cents a pound for chicken in 1975.
Wow.
I'm old.
Yes, we're all getting there. Okay.
Do I have time for one true story?
My
grandfather, I'm going to tell it anyway. My grandfather, Barney, who was a waiter at a dairy restaurant here in Brooklyn called The Famous Restaurant, now at McDonald's on Eastern Parkway, he came home one day and he said, I can't believe this, but they raised the price of soup from 25 cents to 50 cents. Who's going to pay 50 cents for a bowl of mushroom barley soup?
I would.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Have a great week, everyone.
Take care.
Bye.
Arthur Schwartz, the food maven, here on Robin Hood Radio, robinhoodradio.com on the web. Underwriting support for Arthur Schwartz, the food maven, Hillsdale Home Chef. More information, 518-325-7000, hgshomechef.com.